Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's Feather snapcam.com.
Welcome.
What was that?
That was like if I smile on the outside, no one will know I'm crying inside. That's what that sounded like.
Whatever.
Welcome.
No, I'm so happy to be here. Hurts.
Me too.
This is If These Ovaries Could Talk, if you don't know that.
Yep.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Oh God. Still.
You poor things.
I know. Sorry for your loss.
And I still have no voice because I've been hardcore parenting a sick baby.
Oh man, that is just not easy.
It's not easy when my baby has the flu. It's not cute. It's hard.
I mean, I want to like say, but I'm knocking table. I'm knocking wood like that. I'm not going to finish that sentence because I don't want to bring that onto the
don't even bring
house
it.
Of pox.
Don't bring it. Don't bring it. double boil in trouble.
I don't know.
Anyway.
So today, before we get to our amazing guest du jour, we are going to be checking in at the end of the episode. Stick around after the interview for our Tiff and Carissa
segment.
By the way, I think it's Tiffany, but I've started calling her Tiff. Like
I started that with the song too, like the ditty. Yeah,
Tiff and Carissa.
It fit better.
So it did. I tried to sing it with Tiffany and it didn't work.
No.
Okay. So Tiff, we're going to check in with Tiff and Carissa. It's all about ovulating. So you want to stick around for that.
Oh boy.
That recurring segment about their road to parenthood.
And then let's get to the nitty gritty.
Today we have motherfucking Judy Gold.
Motherfucking Judy fucking Gold. And
her son, Henry.
Her son, Henry.
Her Henry, not my Henry. Yes. Her Henry's 22.
Yeah. And he's a great guy.
He was delightful. He was such a nice, delightful boy.
But the two of them together is a little bit hilarious because Judy's kind of, you know, a personality.
She's a strong person. She describes herself on her website as actor, writer, host, and big mouth. And I love it.
Especially when she's talking to her son.
Oh my God. Their dynamic was hilarious. The milk is in here. No, the milk's not in here. I didn't say the milk was in here.
I need a spoon. Where's the spoon? It was hilarious. It was amazing. We just were sitting there at the table.
I was like, I think we're ready to go whenever you guys are. So we recorded at Judy's house.
We were on location,
by the way,
people.
Next to her Emmys. No big deal. We recorded at her house. So there's going to be some moments of sirens and things of that nature.
Ooh, also, we have to tell them about how we stood outside her window, like stalking her, because we got there early.
We were outside her house. We weren't outside her window.
Well, her window is right there.
The fifth floor, like, Judy, open the door, please.
Oh, we were just standing out there
like
making
total idiots with our equipment. Like,
we didn't want to go in early. We look like dorks with her.
That's
anywho,
kind of our thing, though, Jamie. It's fine.
I know. She probably
nobody
was like,
called the cops on us.
Probably was like, why did I agree to these?
I truly think she thought we were someone else. Well, it's totally fine.
When we walked in the door, she was probably like, who is this elf walking in here? As you like to tell me.
You did look like an elf next to her. It was amazing.
She's like over 6 feet tall. I'm not even 5 feet. So that's comedy on stage. Let me tell you that.
Listen, back in the 1920s, it sure was, Jamie. Back in the vaudeville days.
It still is. It always works.
All right, let's get to our Judy Gold interview because it's so good. Mm-hmm. And Henry. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
The Judy Gold is here.
Hi.
The.
We did a video out front of your house, like all like,
no way.
We're waiting outside to be Judy Gold.
No, we really did.
Is it the worst apartment building?
No.
Okay. We were just saying how charming it is. So New York.
This is so New York, and we know all the neighbors.
That's the beauty.
Come over.
By the way, we also have Judy's son, Henry, here.
Hi, Henry.
Hello.
That's Henry, my older son.
Anyway, we always start off like we always talk to people about the elevator pitch about your family. I think you should both do it.
I have a little brother. We're from different sperm donors and different
anonymous
mothers.
Anonymous
donors. And Judy fucked up on the donor registry and made her username and password hadn't been mom. And
that's not my password.
Whatever. She made her username.
That was on the donor sibling registry. Because I wanted to
Hen Ben Mom, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. God forbid I needed a kidney or something. So
that's why I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she made a Hen Ben Mom, and since she's so popular among the LGBTQ community, mothers put two and two together and I have.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Oh.
Bad.
What was bad? What happened?
Well, you know, didn't want me to register at all.
Right.
And I
It's a thing. It's right. a thing. Right.
And this is, I mean, come on. He was born in 96.
Mm-hmm. It was very
so
new at
everything
the time.
Was really new. We started trying in 94, I think. Mm. And then, so it was all new. You know, they didn't have open donors then. And I think maybe they had an option of you, when the kid was 18, they could contact. Anyway, we had decided this was our family and that was it. And, you know,
so
it's
you
just a
closed.
Body part.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, an excretion from a body. Anyway, but what happened was, I guess on the Rosie Cruise, right?
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, there was a documentary about the Rosie Cruise.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
because I wanted to go on it.
That was the most one of the most amazing experiences to get on this boat with all. I mean, you have to realize this is over 20 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a different time.
And
you're 15
right.
years ago.
And just to see these families who were in the fucking closet.
Right.
They're in the closet, you know, the 51 weeks out of the year.
Right.
And these kids, I remember we got on the cruise. This was the first gay, you know, family cruise. And I remember the crew was very like, oh, what is this going to be like? And they, by the end of the week, had said these were the best behaved kids ever. It was the most magical ship. And, you know, and people are like, you know, well, why are they the best behaved kids? Because they're all wanted.
Yes.
Intentional families.
And at that time, it was really intentional.
Yeah.
You know, and just multicultural, and the love was, it was magic. Mm. It was fucking magic. And we got screamed at in the Bahamas and
no, you didn't bring us off the boat.
Oh
no,
you left them with sitters.
No,
I didn't want them to hear.
No, we get, there was a lot of homo.
Oh, there was
a lot of homo.
Oh, there were people like,
yeah,
like picketing. It's not picketing. That's not the right word, but
I had brought them to a lot of, you know, we've gotten to the a lot of marches, a lot of protests. And in fact, Henry has used that against me. So we went to the, I guess it was for reproductive rights in D.C. He was really little. And we got back that weekend. It was like in spring. But, you know, the next morning it was freezing. And I was like, Henry, you got to wear a coat. I'm not wearing a coat.
Why would they ever wear coats?
How old were you? Like 6, 7?
I would always want to wear like shorts and
t-shirts. Oh, my God, always.
I'm not wearing a coat. I said, yes, you are.
Well, I get picked up by the bus and I'd be inside all day. So I get picked up by the bus right outside.
No, I said to him, you're wearing a coat. No, I'm not. We have this huge fight. And then he's literally, you must have been 7, 8 mm-hmm. years old. He goes, you know what? You made me march so that no one could tell you what to do with your body. And now you're telling me what I can do with my body. And I was like, if he's not a fucking lawyer or an agent, you know. Yeah. And it was like, oh, my God, how can I argue with this? Like,
and you can't. So back to your stories. You had separate donors. You carried one.
So my
your ex carried one.
Sharon, we were together 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, a long time.
So we used an anonymous sperm donor for Henry.
Through like a bank, online bank?
No, not online. We didn't have online.
Right.
So
right.
It was.
Right. So where'd you get it?
The California Cryobank.
That was my bank.
Oh, but that's what I used.
Right. And at that time, it was one of the only ones.
But how did you get it? You had to call them?
No, well, first of all,
you have to go there.
You shut the fuck. This is what my girlfriend does. This is exactly what I'm like in the middle of the story, and she starts, and I'm like, no. All right. So anyway,
we need the bell. So we like, every time Judy yells at somebody,
get the
bell.
Yeah. Right. Henry, you want to get the bell?
Get the bell, Henry.
And he's here,
back. Here it is. Okay, we have the bell.
Wow.
The bell's back.
Okay. Anyway, so we actually went there. I guess you could send away. You could call, and they would send you the catalog and that kind of thing.
Catalog.
I was living in LA at the time. So we went over there and we met the ladies. They were so great.
I always wanted to meet the staff.
Yeah. They're just the the greatest.
Really? Like even the people at the desk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, everyone.
Everyone.
And so we had the catalog and we picked one donor and Sharon didn't get pregnant, and then we got a notice from them that a baby was born with polydactyly, you know, and that it was a very recessive gene that both the
mother,
it was, the likelihood was, blah, do you want to change? We're like, yes, you know, we don't want
to. Why risk it?
So we got another one, and this came out.
Mm.
And at that time, I was living in LA, and Sharon was like, look, we have to figure out where we're going to bring the kid up. And I was on a sitcom.
Like you do.
I was hot at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want to bring my kid up in LA. Mm. I want to bring my dream, because I wanted to grow up, was that my kids would grow up in this city where everything is at their fingertips, instead of having to drive everywhere and everyone's in show business. And the only reason I was there was for work. It wasn't because I was choosing to. So we moved back here. Thank God. I mean, I had never gotten rid of this apartment. I've lived here since 1989. But 5 years later, I had been different sperm donor because they had run out.
Yeah. My donor ran out too.
Yeah.
And my donor ran out, but we brought him out of retirement. He agreed to it.
Yeah. Ours.
He was like, I guess
they contacted him and he said no. And now we have a giant.
We have Ben's the giant.
Ben's 6'8".
Well, how tall are you, Henry?
I'm 6'1".
No, you're 6'2".
You're pretty tall.
No, I'm like 6'1". No, I'm not 6'2" yet.
Yeah. Not yet, he says. So she had the first.
Right. I adopted him immediately. I had done all the paperwork before he was born. And when he was born... all we needed was the court date.
Yep.
But when Ben was born, Sharon never did
second parent.
The second parent.
And, oh no.
And we ended up breaking up when Ben was like 2.5 and Henry was 7.5 and she still hadn't adopted him.
Was that problematic for the breakup or no?
Because well, it was because, you know, we're not together.
Mm-hmm.
There's no genetic link.
Right.
There's no legal marriage. We were domestic partners. Everything had to be done. You know, I mean, at this time, you had to have paperwork, yep. Even getting on a fucking plane. I mean, yep. I have so many stories, but
really,
even though I was upset about the breakup, and a lot of people were like, no, you know, don't let her adopt him. I was like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. We had these kids together.
That would be really messed up.
Right. And I was like, I don't want Henry going back and forth and one just staying. It's ridiculous.
Right.
We're a family. This is who. So we.
It's surprising people suggested that to you.
Oh, just angry. You know, so many
they're mad about
angry,
how the breakup was.
You know, and that's the thing about how important it is that we have these rights.
Right.
Because, you know, no, she's not genetically linked, but she's his mother, you know? So we got a lawyer and it was a precedent setting case in the state of New York.
Oh, the adoption was or the breakup?
Right, because no genetic link. We're not
together anymore.
We're not, we don't even have the same address.
Oh.
And we went to the judge's chambers and I'll never forget. She said to you guys, do you remember this? She said, do you know what's going on in here? And I don't know if she asked you to explain it or yes. And then after she said, I'm going to grant this. And Henry leaned over to Ben and hugged him and said, now we're full brothers.
Oh.
And it was the sweetest.
He's like, shut up.
He's like, bless you.
Oh my God. His head it right was now. The cutest.
It was so nice.
Yeah, that's probably the last time I was nice to him.
Yeah.
Oh, do I see a little salt in your eyes?
No, not at all.
All right.
It's like, shut up.
Aww. It was the cutest.
That's really nice.
And it's so funny because, you know, you say they're not genetically linked. You know, are they real? People always like, you know, it's this is what's really annoying. Oh, well, he's yours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
He's Sharon. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so fucking ridiculous. Do you say that to your, I mean, I'm
know.
The first one who ever held him,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like,
well, you intentionally yeah. brought these kids together, but
right.
that's why I like to not let her adopt would be insane. Even if you are broken up.
Right. But I'm
she
just
was
saying
part of,
there was such this
you know,
vengeful and ridiculous, you know? And so,
and in another state, they would like New York's a pretty liberal state like that.
So
never would have happened.
We're lucky in
New York. Yeah. Yeah.
But Henry used to beat the shit out of Ben.
Yeah.
And then, this is how, and I was like, Henry, what the fuck? And I said, what if someone else was doing that to Ben in the, you know, in the schoolyard? He's like, I'll fucking kill him. And that's when I knew.
That's when you knew that they loved each other.
Right.
Did he say fuck that early?
Yeah. Tell her the story.
No, you can tell.
You
her.
Can tell
you
the
tell
story.
Her.
Well, she curses so much that when they were still together, Ben was like 2 years old, and Sharon came home one day, and Ben was distraught about something. She said, "Ben, what's wrong?" And he looked at her, and he said, "The fucking TV's broken."
Then we had a curse drawer.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, that was not.
How'd
good.
That go?
I had to take out a second mortgage.
I'm sure I was going to say somebody probably ended up putting in much more.
Yeah. But he hated my cursing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You always hated my cursing.
Because it was like embarrassing.
He hated
it was like
everything about me.
Yeah.
So
really?
I was like, well, I spent so much time with him because Sharon, you know, she's an executive. So she was working all the time. And I really came back here. And I was the one who was hesitant about having children. And the minute I saw him, I was so attached that I really spent most of my day. Like, I used to go to his fucking daycare and stay there with
daycare.
Him.
She got,
I got kicked
out. She got kicked out.
She got kicked out of the morning meeting.
Daycare.
They were like,
she was disruptive.
It's not good. It's not good for them that you stay here. They need to separate. Anyways.
I got told that too.
Yeah. So
bad.
Attached.
Mm.
So, I used to drop him off a lot. Well, Sharon did too. And then I used to pick him up a lot. And then we had our whole thing where we'd stop at Famiglia and get our garlic knots. And
are you too similar? Is that why you like bicker?
I don't know.
I think they bicker because it's part of their love for each other.
That's how you show love in my family.
So much, I have to say, having one biological and one non-biological, the nature-nurture thing is fascinating.
Yes, I agree.
Because I do see a lot of, genetics from Sharon mm-hmm. in him. And I'm like, oh, he's like that because of her. He's like, but then he's so much like me, too.
Right.
You know, yeah. that it's really, it's interesting. I mean, same with Ben, right?
We talk about it a lot on this podcast, the nature nurture. If both spouses have carried a child, or like Robin, who had both of them and her wife has no genetic tie, that like this underrunning current of the question constantly is there. Is this because I gave birth or I didn't give birth? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a whole
lot. You talk about that more because you had one.
But there's a donor too. Like, yeah, do you right. have anonymous donors? And so there's that.
Yeah. We have open donors, but not till the kids are 18.
Right.
They can be contacted.
You know, want to know what's interesting? I told him, when you're 18, you can have whatever you want. He has never asked
for it. Can you get the name if you want?
I don't really care. I just like to see a picture of him.
Oh. Did you see a baby picture?
No.
Oh, really?
Now you can get baby pictures.
Yeah, I know.
Now they even have adult pictures. It's like crazy now.
Even since we did it, they have adult pictures now.
So for you, how does the donor play? Does it meaningful to you or anything? I mean,
well, I think in the same way, I was actually getting dropped off at college and it was my freshman year. I was sitting at the table with my really good friend who went to high school. His parents, my parents, we were all just hanging out. And it was like Sunday night and they were all leaving in the morning and we were freshmen in college. So we're sitting there and I got a message on my phone from some kid who grew up in Malibu, same deal, two moms. And he's like, I'm your half brother. And I guess he put two and two together and he had like done a lot of investigating and he found like the two other half sisters. And I talked to him for like 2 days and then.
This was when you were a freshman in college?
Yeah. I talked to him for like 2 days. We talked about genetic stuff for, I don't know, I didn't talk to him that much. And he really like wanted to meet me and everything. And I would have met him if I felt like we had anything in common.
But you didn't feel like that. It was just kind of.
But I mean, he's like, I'm very into sports and whatever. And he's like a really good musician and like went to Berklee School of Music. I just didn't.
So you weren't curious?
I didn't really.
This is what you said to me. He said, I wouldn't be friends with him or have any, you know, like I, it's not like,
like if I went to high school with them, we probably wouldn't be friends. That's
so you're
how
like, why? Right. Why? Yeah. Like, why am I? Yeah.
But like, I would like, if it was different, like I would have met him.
So he didn't feel like you weren't like, you're my half brother. You were just like, we share the same genetics.
Yeah. I was obviously curious and I talked to him for a few days, but after that, there was like really nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
And so I just told him that.
But it's funny because, you know, we pick the donors to match each other, sort of. Mm-hmm. And I was a music major.
Yeah.
And so this guy, the donor, played like 9 musical instruments or something.
Oh,
so. I tried to give him piano lessons.
Not interesting. I didn't have a piano in your living room.
Nothing. Zero. Yeah. Done. Over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
It happens.
Is your brother interested in the donor at all? Because I was curious if there's anything different or you both feel the same.
He's the same way. Yeah.
Same way.
I got messaged by Ben's half sibling.
Do
you think they're finding you because your
Ben,
mom's famous?
And I showed Ben a picture. Yeah. And I showed Ben a picture and he like laughed and didn't care.
He's like, whatever.
But Ben doesn't care about anything.
That's a good way to be.
See, we have secret Facebook groups for both of our donors. And so we've met a bunch of the kids, but my kids don't seem to care. Like we're just like, oh, this is a person who has the same donor as you. But, and if they come through town.
I feel like it's so confusing.
No, everything is no judgment.
You're already at, you know, we're different
mm-hmm.
because most people are blank and this is how people are going to react to us. And then you add that mm-hmm. in at such a young age, I think it's confusing. My theory was with them and the way I parented them about all this stuff was when they asked a question, I would answer it. And then I would say, do you want to know more?
Right.
And well, I'd let smart. Them that's figure great. Out, yep. you know, but you know, Henry, 1996, he's at daycare. Yeah. This is the first
only one.
Lesbo parent.
Yeah.
Family that they've ever had. I mean, he's really the voice of.
You're an ambassador.
Yeah.
I guess he has
been so profoundly outspoken about, you know, LGBTQ equality.
Well, good for you.
How was it for you in high school and junior high school? I mean, did you have any.
Well, in elementary school and middle school, I'd say the only, not even a negative, just the only complication, I guess, of growing up with two moms is that I was very, and I was the first child too, so my brother wasn't really like this. But up until like eighth grade, I was very sensitive. And like, I would just cry about a lot of stuff. And I was like that kid.
You had
like,
your emotions on your sleeve.
I was just that kid. Like, I would like be like, I'd be like crying in class. Like, someone like said something mean to me. Go tell the teacher. Like, I was that kid. And then, but like, anytime someone said faggot, I'd like, it was just like.
Yeah, he took it really personally.
Yeah. Even if they weren't saying it to you.
Yeah.
Just that word.
And then I just kind of grew out of that when I got to high school. And everything was fine.
Well, the high school they went to, there were trans kids. Like, no right. one gives a shit.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the bubble.
And then I was really like, does he get picked on or she get picked on? He's like, no, mommy, no one gets picked on. Okay, right. That's your school.
That's but, your childhood.
You know, we didn't have the rights that you guys have. You know, there were so many times, I don't know if even know if Henry remembers these, where we'd be at the airport. Who's the real mother? But we actually never.
Would you just say I'm his mom and she?
No,
just,
I know. Or were you like, oh, I wrote an article a few years ago about for when Ben got his tonsils out, and that mm-hmm. they kept saying, you know, who's the at the fucking hospital, and who's how many times I changed the form to say, you parent. Know, that was the thing we worked on together. Like, he would go to school and say mother and father. Christine Quinn, I love yeah. her, and I wrote to her. I said, listen, Henry's in, you know, first grade or kindergarten, and it's mother, father. It needs to be guardian. And she was instrumental in changing that. But believe me, I know there are other people who have kids who are in their 30s and, you know, who had dealt with this too. But at every juncture, I said something, you know,
yeah.
this is, you know, this makes... You know, there's different kinds. And I'm not even talking. And 9/11, too, was a big factor because there were so many kids who had lost one or two parents.
Right.
You know?
So, right.
And I said that this is not a gay issue. This yeah. is a family issue. But we would have to travel with their birth certificates, you know, identifying like that we're both the parents. We had to go to lawyers to,
yep.
you know, make sure if anything happened to each other, because, you know, that story.
Off the Rosie thing in Florida, right?
Right. So there are two mothers and the two kids. She has a massive stroke at Disney World. They bring her to the hospital and it's Florida and they wouldn't let the kids or the partner,
in.
They're like, no, this marriage is not valid. And the fucking nurses.
Yeah. When was this?
This is like, not that long
10
ago.
10 years, yeah. 15 years ago, maybe?
And, oh, my God. The woman died alone yeah. in a fucking ICU.
And those kids never got to say goodbye to their mother. It's like,
this is universe talking right there.
Yeah. People. But there were so many. And, you know.
There were a lot of stories like that.
Also, you know, you think back, the AIDS crisis mm-hmm. was a catalyst for change because all these young men were dying and older, you know, in their 40s. I mean, older was 40s at that point, yeah. but. And they had been in relationships for 10, 20 years. They weren't allowed to go to their partner's funerals. They were left yeah. homeless. They were, you know, it really, the AIDS crisis galvanized us into a community. Then when we started having kids, there was just an additional layer. So until Sharon and I got divorced, but we weren't ever legally married. So that was also complicated.
Yeah, and that's why the adoption was so necessary.
Yeah.
We haven't done our second parent adoption yet.
You have to do it.
Well, we're in the process.
But there's
been
so
in
much,
the process
there's so
for
much like bad information out there. I was just there's some feed in some like, you know, because we're in all kinds of these gay parent groups on Facebook. And there was a chain yesterday of this like all these people saying lawyers told them they didn't need to do it anymore because
yes,
their partner's name is on the birth certificate. And it's like,
oh, because
no.
What, are you married to your partner?
We're married. And
but
still
you have to do it.
Yeah.
You still have to. We had a lawyer on who told us that it doesn't matter if it's on your birth certificate. Also, when we had our first, my wife had our first, when we got the birth certificate, I was listed as father.
Oh yeah, we
even
had
though
it changed.
We had yeah, and we had to, but when we called the clerk to say, "Listen, this is supposed to be mother,"
right?
She said, "Well, do you have a marriage license?" And my wife was like, "Yeah,
yeah,
what
we had to
that
do that.
Matter
without,
it does matter in New York. Yeah. You can only do that because, like, Mary and I are domestic partners. We couldn't We could only change the birth certificate through secondhand
adoption.
But
are you telling me a father has to come to the hospital when his wife is giving birth and bring their marriage certificate for him to be put
only
as father? No.
Oh, you don't. It still goes on.
It's crazy.
We petitioned for new Henry's birth certificate. You can see the XXX because it was so out of the father. But we have one birth certificate that only has one parent on.
Mm-hmm.
And it says father unknown on both of them. Oh, and then they resent them.
That's tough.
One time, do you remember this? Sharon was flying with Ben. Ben was a little baby, and he was a lap child, but he was speaking, and Henry and I dropped them off at Provincetown Airport, and they were getting on this tiny plane, and she's holding Ben, and whoever comes over and says, you know, oh, is that your mommy? Because I'm mommy and Sharon's mama.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben goes, no, my mommy just left. And they were like, what? And she's like, no, I'm the mama. I was so...
You're like, the thing that you always are afraid they're going to say.
Right,
you said.
Yeah. Right. They're like, what?
Oh,
but we've always been matter of fact, like,
yeah. Right. I want to ask about that. Yeah. And I want to hear Henry's opinion.
He's an amazing voice for this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, what was the conversation?
Don't give me a fucking look.
An amazing voice.
Henry, you have grown up in this family and have you ever been ashamed to say I have two moms?
That's a good question.
It's a tough question to answer in front of your mom.
Oh, that's fine.
No, but I've definitely been ashamed of my mom's.
But maybe not because you have two moms.
No, not because I have two moms at all.
I was going to say, just because, like,
he hated me. He went through a period, he couldn't stand anything about me. And now we're like closer than, I mean, yeah, we're pretty close. Besties.
Were you ever, you have to answer, were you ever ashamed because they were gay?
No.
No. Did you ever get, I don't want to say made fun of, but did people give you a hard time because you had two moms?
No.
It's amazing.
No, never.
I feel like you were in the bubble. Like, yeah, the Manhattan.
Yeah.
Like, no, but they would say, didn't Simon say your
No, Simon
dead?
Went home and asked, the kid in preschool asked his father where my dad was, and he was uncomfortable answering the question. So he told the son that my father died. And then someone asked, like, I guess a few months later, like, another little kid asked during preschool, and he answered that my father died.
Oh.
And what'd you do? Did you cry?
I don't remember. I was like 2 or 3.
So many kids at that age would be,
I know.
Like, they'd find out, like, oh, I want, and they'd be like, I want two mommies.
Yeah, totally. Who
my
doesn't want two moms?
My kids are still proud of it right now. They're still at that stage where they're like, see, I do have two moms. Like, they're still, for the most part.
Right.
My daughter's still in the phase where she's just tries to call everybody dad just to see what we'll do.
Right. They're so, have an evil sense of humor. It's really good. No funny.
They're your kids.
But, you know, he's working in the comedy world now.
Mm. Are you doing stand-up?
No.
Do you want to do stand-up? Because you're like managing a club, right?
Yeah, I can't do stand up.
Stand up's scary.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Well, not for you.
I love it.
Scary.
You know what I love it the most? When the comedian before me says the audience sucks,
and you're like, I'll take care of that.
I got it.
People are so weird when they like it, because I see an audience every night.
Right.
When I work.
When I came out as a comedian, I came out as a gay parent.
So you had done the whole making the baby, making the family thing kind of in the closet. You didn't out to the public.
No, well, everyone knew. Anyone who was
close to you knew.
The comics knew. You know, people knew. But on stage, I never talked about, I talked about my gay friends, but you know, honestly, there was nothing my relationship with Sharon that was comical. Like,
material,
And I also didn't want to be pigeonholed.
I was just going to say, nobody was doing it at that time.
Well, Bob Smith.
But
my friend Bob Smith, mm-hmm. God rest his soul, I miss him so much. He just passed away from ALS, but he was out, and he was out in the mid 80s, and Leah Delary was out. There were so many. Reno, Frank, Suzanne Westenhofer was out, and Leah was out, and Reno was out.
Was Melissa Etheridge out?
Yes.
Like 93.
I feel like it was just like a given, though, that she was
but,
gay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't. At that time, that was it. Like, you're a gay comic. And I didn't have any material anyway. That I talked a lot about my mother and being tall and just my adventures in life. But when Henry was born, I was like, I had so much material about, and it was from this new point of view,
right,
of being a parent. And every comic talks about their kids. Why shouldn't I talk about my family? And I came out on stage to the chagrin of a lot of my representatives. But I feel like it was a public service. I mean, yes. I can't tell you how many people would come up to me after shows. I'll never, one guy in Texas, I used to do a bit after Henry was born about how I wasn't allowed to get married, but like Eric Menendez can get married in jail and Charles Manson can get married and Mary Kate Letourneau can get married. Yeah. And it was, you know, just the hypocrisy.
Right.
Britney Spears can get married for 3 hours.
Yeah.
She has more rights than I do. And I have this intact family.
Intentional.
Yeah. And so, and then I would get in fights with people. I'd be like, you know what? Why don't you ask my kids if they feel like they have they're wanting for anything, mm-hmm. that you know, most kids don't have two parents who love them.
True that. Yeah.
And also lesbos, I always explain this. When the kids are born, you know, like the straight people are like, oh, my husband does nothing.
Oh,
and
Like
lesbians are like, no, I'll do it. No, I'll do it.
We
no,
joke
I'll
about that
it.
All the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
It's like, or it's like, I did this, you do that half. It's like everything has to be exactly down the middle.
You know what Sharon used to do when I'd come home? I was running the marathon when that was
good
one
for
good
you.
Thing. And I would go on these really long runs on Saturday morning, like 10, 15 miles, and I'd be so fucking exhausted. But she would get up with him while I was running, and then it was my turn. So I'd come home
totally
like so fucking tired, and she'd be feeding him. And remember, that high chair, and she'd be feeding him, going, "So after I'm done, mommy's gonna take you to the park, and then she's gonna go grocery shopping," and that's how she fucking told me.
Totally.
Like, not nap time for you, bitch.
This
you
is know? The land I'm in right now. We still alternate bedtimes, too. Like, I do one night, she does the other night. And this is the land I'm in right now.
Right, but it's so...
it's a good thing I'm straight.
I bet she'll be a better, better half.
I've asked his girlfriends if there's anything different about him because he was, you know, in a relationship.
None of my girlfriends have told you there's anything different about me.
No.
Do you think you're a better dude, though?
This is what I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Both of my straight sons, unfortunately, have friends who are girls, like real friends, like really close friends who are female.
So do a lot of people who have a dad and a mom.
I guess it's a new thing.
But you've always been like that. I also think he knows how to talk to women.
Lady.
Right.
I think he never thinks a woman is incapable of doing something because he's seen us do. I mean, do you think you have a different view? I mean, he's still an asshole about like, oh, she's hot. And
where does that come from?
Yeah. Do you think you're different because of?
Do I think do I think I'm this way because of who my parents are? Yeah. Is that the question you're asking?
But there was a time, do you remember you were playing baseball and he's a catcher. But there was a time where, did the guy say you're a faggot or something? And Henry got up and said, don't you use that word. I have two moms. Remember? And then and the coach came over from the other team and apologized.
And then came out to his
team.
Oh,
that's awesome.
That was an amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
I feel like you guys have just, like, I mean, from changing things in the school to this, like, you guys have just
your because ambassadors.
Of, yeah.
Well, it's just about, there are so many times where you could say, you know what, I'm not going to explain this to, like, a cab driver.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We talk about the cab driver all the time, or the guy at the bodega. Like, do I need to go into this?
Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I realize, you know, once these people know, like, the world will change when they know that they know a gay person, they like or love a gay person, and when they go to a voting booth and that they can have a visual like, do I want this person to not have the same rights as me? So I've found it really important that no matter who it is, to just be matter of fact about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no emotion. Like, when, I hope you read this article, I'll send it to you,
yeah,
this article.
Please do.
In the Huffington Post about Ben and getting his tonsils out, and that, you know, the initial visit, she said, well, who's the real, I said, are you asking who his birth mother. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would correct. Don't ever ask
the real,
mother.
And I was kind but firm. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be kind and firm, and because you have kids around you, and
they're hearing everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And not ashamed. Like, that's why I was like, I'm talking about this on stage. What kind of message is it when you're like, by the way, guys, we don't talk about this. And like,
can you imagine? Yeah. I can't even imagine you not doing that material. Like, you seem so just open and like,
well, I'm proud of them. Yeah, and right. Like, you know, it started with, you know, when Sharon had the C-section and we went to get yarmulkes for his bris, and she was miserable. It was to the Jew store down 2 blocks away, and she was miserable. And
C-sections are tough.
Yeah, and I had him in the baby Bjorn, and everyone was like, oh my God, he's so cute. And I was online, and she was standing by the door, and they're like, he's so cute. How old is he? And I'm like, 6 days. And they're like,
you look so
oh
good.
My God, yeah, you look so, you look fabulous. And I said, thank you very much. And then we went outside, just Sharon was it. Like, fuck you, fuck you, I hate you, you know? I mean, amazing. Could not tell that.
No, yeah, amazing. Of course. I just love that you're just so open about it from the start, right? Like, were there any conversations when they were little that you had? Did you have books about like donor versus dad? Or did you guys like, what was a conversation to explain their family makeup? Was there one?
I mean,
it was just there.
I think 9/11 was also a big wake up call on so many levels, but that, you know, here are these kids with different families now, different family structures. So
that's an interesting, like, delineation. I wouldn't have thought of that. That's interesting.
I never
thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just felt like these poor kids.
Your
you know?
Kids grew
and
up in
Mother's
the wake
Day
of
and
this.
Father's Day.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and even just like when they do, it was like bring your dad to work to school day, kid's pre-K. And I was just like, so I don't, it's not that big a deal that my kid doesn't have a dad. Like, I'll show up. But it's like, what about the kid who's in a bad situation where their dad's like in jail or something?
Right,
or, you know, it's
exactly.
Like, you can't do that shit.
Yeah.
You know,
I forgot to mention that. Yeah. There's incarcerated parents.
Yeah.
And then also like the fact that we live in this village, like Cy lives down the hall. He and Henry are like, I mean, he's 86, but they're like best friends.
He's been there the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he's his godfather. They had a gay Manny. They had a.
That's what I was going to ask if you ever had any, because my son is starting to say things like, we're going to be in Gay Parent Magazine in May, and they wanted us to do a family picture. And I told him, I was like, oh, we're going to do a family picture. And he was like, he got really excited. And then I was like, he said, what's the magazine? And I said, Gay Parent. He goes, and then a second later, he goes, why don't we have any boys in our family? And I thought, it's nice that you have your brother, because he's the only, we even have a girl cat. It's just like all ladies.
Get a,
and
get a Manny. Yeah. We got to, but like
did
Henry,
you feel like not having a dude in your world, or you had enough of a village that had men?
Yeah, it was never an issue for
never
me.
Never an issue.
Well, they also went to a daycare where there were guys.
Yeah. Which is rare, huh?
Yeah.
And he is... He now works at that daycare.
Yeah, I worked there. Yeah. I worked there like 9 hours a week.
And
that's
he
nice.
Is so good with, I mean, if you need a Manny.
I need a babysitter.
You want to be a Manny? Because I have a 1-year-old.
Fucking amazing.
You want to hang out with a 1-year-old?
All the kids are like he, I don't, that
there's,
he did
there's
not
two,
get from
there's
me.
Two, there's two gay families. There's two out of 11 kids. But
oh, that's
I,
awesome.
Yeah, there's
oh.
two.
What a difference
every
like, from
daycare
you to where it is now,
right?
Right?
Yeah. Gay family.
Yeah, we were the first, then Malika and Lucy were the second.
Yeah.
Before we let you get back to your life, have Henry, we've asked a lot of you this hour, but do you have anything that you would say to like parents that you would say, my parents did this well, or that, you know, just like any sage advice from your 22-year-old self?
I don't know. I think what made it easiest for me is that my parents were both friends with my friend's parents and like social people who people want to be around. So I think that made it really easy for me because like, I'd say my parents are cooler than a lot of parents. So
aww, look at you,
look at
Judy.
That. Take that compliment.
Was your house the one that everybody hung out at?
Yeah.
Always? Like everybody just came over to Henry's?
I thought Henry was going to be like, you know, an activist. When I saw Zach Walls first speak about his,
oh my God,
I was like, that's what Henry, you know, and he's like, no, mommy, I don't.
It's like, I want to work at a comedy club.
It's so interesting. Like he doesn't, it's not an issue, but I think because he had all these friends with straight parents and saw the dads and.
Well, you weren't just in this world. You weren't just in this world. You were just like in all these worlds.
You
like,
have to be in the world.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah. And I think I'm raising a little feminist with my 1-year-old boy, too. You have these dreams.
I don't have that dream about my son.
I think he's going to be this great feminist, you know.
Do you think you're speaking up
for women?
Do I think I'm a feminist?
Yeah, like, do you think women are equal to men?
Yeah.
Of course.
But I am curious as to, like, how boys of, I don't know, I just really want to know how it affected him.
I like all the kids. I want there to be enough kids that somebody does a study and we see, it's just because it's like, I'm very curious about it.
But also, Henry's made comments about other fathers and that they're dicks. Like, when you tell me the story about Simon and his father said he died, that guy is a teacher. He's an educator. Yeah. To tell his kid that is, you know.
Because he couldn't handle, like, saying something uncomfortable.
He happened to be my teacher freshman year of high school.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, my dad's dead.
No, yeah. I didn't say anything.
I didn't bring my homework in because, you know, I was feeling really bad about my dad's death.
My father died today, so we're having an unveiling.
You know, right?
Yeah.
You know my dad died.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like they're great kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did a good job raising them, you know, and you did it intentionally.
Take some credit.
I also, you know, I'm not the greatest. You know, I made a lot of mistakes.
So every day.
I mean, that's parenting, right?
I don't think.
You didn't screw them up too much.
No. And I think you know what the other thing is? I think it's different. They're socially intelligent or more aware of their feelings.
Emotionally intelligent.
They're very emotionally intelligent and how to express that. He's so used to women's moods that.
But that's what I was trying to say.
Most guys would be like, fuck her. Fucking. He'll engage and be like, you know.
So tell me about that.
Like an asshole and blah, 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 blah. And you just did this to me. And you cannot win.
But do you think that's because that's the way you parented him, or that's because you were two moms raising him? What do you think, Henry? Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, what else do you know? That's the way you were raised, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
To a certain extent, it's like, like we're asking these questions to compare it to like all other children. Like, this is your experience.
Yeah.
Like, these two moms is two.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't feel different growing up.
No.
He saw how we behaved as like, we're normal, you know, and people treated us that way.
Yeah, we're normal.
We should have video for all the looks that you're giving him. It's amazing.
It's really a whole nother show.
I mean, it's not normal. Like most mother's son relation, like last week, she was performing at the comedy club and I was waiting tables. That's not a normal relationship.
Right. Normal.
Did you talk about him while he was waiting tables?
I always do. I'm like, that's my son, Henry. He's working here because we live in a trailer.
Amazing. So this is going to air in early April.
Wow.
Where should people come see you? While you're looking at your live dates, you do a podcast. It's called Kill Me Now.
Podcast called Kill Me Now. We're going to start doing more live podcasts.
It was so fun.
We saw her live. It was hilarious.
It was great.
It was really fun. We did one live podcast and I was like, who the fuck wants to watch us do this? This is so bad. When I came to see you, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah. It's fun.
We had Stacey and Chin and that was like amazing. She's fucking great.
She's crazy. Yeah. We love her.
She was crazy.
Oh, great. You like her better than me. All right.
No, not at all.
It's fine.
She made fun of us just like you are doing. Right, it's great.
Everybody makes fun of us.
Yes. First week in April, April 5th, I'm in Fairfield, Connecticut at the Fairfield Theater. Then I'm doing the Downtown Satyrs, which is this thing City Winery does where they give an artist a piece of part of the Haggadah. Mm-hmm. And I do Dianu. It would have been sufficient every year. So I'm in D.C. on the 7th, New York City on the 8th, and Boston on the 9th. And then, oh my God, then I'm doing the Women of the World for Tina Brown on the 11th.
You're everywhere.
I know. The 12th, the Met is doing Don Giovanni.
It's a busy spring.
And they asked me to do 5 minutes before the story. But there's four of us that tells a story of love gone awry.
Fun.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and I have a book coming out this fall.
Oh, you do?
Congrats.
Autobiography or like memoir?
It's about the First Amendment.
It's
coming out this fall if I fucking finish it. He doesn't shut up and I can never get my work done in here.
You can't work with kids in the house.
I go to Starbucks. I
thought that ended at a certain age.
I'm leaving. No, it doesn't. So I'm now looking up spots I can go to.
You need a WeWork.
Well, you can just feel the love in here. You can.
You can.
Really, you can. It's a house of love, guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
A baby boy.
Stop touching me. We talked about there was this like this tween girl next to us on the subway, and her mom just put her hand on her leg, and the girl just like took her mom's hand and just went like that, but never stopped reading. And Mary and I were both just like, oh, I'm going to be so sad when our daughter is like
but
that.
But they come back.
This is what I like.
This is good to hear.
Literally, he came back and is living back home.
Right.
Thank you guys so much. This was really awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
appreciate
my God,
you coming. Thanks for
so
bringing
fun.
Us to your house. I feel like we have to come over for Shabbat dinner now.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
It's like we just have no place know. To fucking put the table anymore since I bought that. So
I feel like we'll just come New here York and just living. Start yelling at everybody too. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we scream a lot.
And on that note. Wee, that was so good.
That was good.
I mean, Judy Gold totally yelled at you, which
I mean, like more than once.
Like I was howling, and I was just honestly, I was just like thankful it wasn't me.
Well, you knew she was going to yell at one of us, but like that's I think of that with Judy. That's like a term of endearment. That's like her telling you she likes you. Like I'm going to be really invited to Seder.
It's how
for
you
sure.
show love for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So she's like.
By the way, I love that you just like corner. Slipped in. You now just like Judy, like Jude's, like we're friends. Like. I always say Judy Gold.
Oh no, Judy and me.
I hope
Judy and I.
Judy
and me.
I hope my Judy Henry turns out like her Henry. He was a nice boy.
Yeah, and he had a lot of thoughtful things to say.
I do think we put the pressure of the world on Henry. Like he has to speak for all children of gay parents, and he was just like, "Oh no," which I thought was hilarious.
No, good for him for just being like, "I'm just me."
I'm so glad we did that. That was excellent. And thank you, Judy, and Henry for being on our show.
Thanks so much for having us in your house.
We'll be over on Saturday to watch TV. Bye.
And now we got to get to our Tiff and Carissa segment.
Should we play the ditty?
Let's play it. Let's do it.
Tiff and Carissa are having a baby.
So, great news. I was expecting to basically have to take out a small personal loan to subsidize all the sticks I was advised to pee on in order to figure out when I'm ovulating. But because I really have to give this to my family, I was taught from a very young age to kind of pay attention to what's going on with my body and listen to my body and yada yada. Because no one trusts doctors and hospitals, which honestly, I totally hear them. They're mostly black women and, our track record is not the best. And they are with me on the idea that we're going to do everything we can to make sure that I make it through childbirth and I make it out of the hospital alive. I'm still not sure if hospital is something I want to do, but So yeah, I did the thing, and literally after a week, I know exactly when I'm ovulating, which is pretty freaking cool. Yay, onward and upward, and turns out I do know my body pretty darn well, so.
So interesting, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
I feel like that one was a cliffhanger.
A little bit, because I didn't really pee on many sticks. And also, when I first started the process, I didn't even think about my ovulation because I was going to a fertility doctor who told me when I was ovulating.
I was like, someone's going to tell me when to stick things in there. So now I'm wondering.
I know, maybe
they're
going to
try it at home. Like, are they going to turkey baster this?
I wonder.
We don't know.
Cliffhanger.
I feel like Tiff and Chris are a little bit like, I'm going to tease this out. I'm going to tease this out.
Keep going rogue.
All right. Well, we're going to have to get another clip from them. I'm going to holler and
find out what the deal is.
What are you doing?
What is happening?
Like, what are you doing? All right. Well, we'll get that in the next update from them.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, this has been just a slice of heaven.
Sure has.
I enjoyed sitting here with you today, Jamie.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Yeah. It's just been fun. It's been good. It's been real.
Real good.
Yeah. So if you guys want to reach out to us, please do.
If you have show ideas, if you have, things you want to be in our merch store.
Merchandise ideas.
If you want to just tell us you love us. Email us at ovariestalk@gmail.com.
Do that. Or hit us up on the Instagram at ovaries_talk. Or on the Facebook or the Book of the Falce at If These Ovaries Could Talk. Or Twitter at ovariestalk.
I mean, because I feel like we need to like blow up our social media. So guys, do something about that, please. Is that too much to ask? And rate and review us on Apple.
Share.
Yeah.
Share.
Follow.
And then buy some merchandise and wear it.
Yes.
You want like a quote from us on the shirt? Because we're so witty.
I don't know. And well, listen. All right, guys. And we're talking about, I don't know, maybe we'll be at like Brooklyn Pride this year. Yeah. It's going to be like a lot going on. So let's keep checking in.
Get ready. We're coming for you.
Oh my God. They're so scared.
I know.
I'm all scared right. for them.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
All right. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.